Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Season, everyone. You know we're getting really close to fantasy football draft day when we're rolling out our sleeper episode. This is the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast, and I'm Bobby Sylvester. Mike Tagliere and I are going to be breaking down each of our top five sleepers today. Tags, is it fair to say this is your favorite show every year?
It's one of, for sure, because, you know, anybody that's out there listening to the podcast, you know, and we, by the way, we appreciate the support. We've been getting so much love recently. I just want to thank you guys. But yeah, it really is, because we get to talk about guys that we don't talk about every day, because nobody wants to talk about the guys down the depth chart all the time. But I think it's fun when we do, because it requires us to, you know, dig deeper than we usually would. So I'm excited to talk about these names today, man. How about you?
I don't know if it's my favorite. I really love week one DFS, because it's like fantasy football DFS is just, it's completely different than anything else. It's such a challenge, and there's so much to dig through, and, you know, you're competing against 100,000 other people. So I think that's probably my number one, but I'm pretty pumped about sleepers too.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. I know that we have a nice little format that we're going to do. We're going to go back and forth, talk about them. It's going to be fun, man.
So I was looking back through my old articles to see who my sleepers were last season. I was expecting the worst. It was kind of a mixed bag, as you might expect. I was one of the guys raving about Michael Thomas, so that worked out pretty well. I was high on Jameson Crowder, Rishard Matthews, and Kevin White. So three out of the four wide receivers, plus Jimmy Graham was a hit at tight end. But Mike, before you joined Fantasy Pros, I had you on the show as a guest, and you let me draft Zach Zenner and Chris Thompson at running back. Why would you do that to me?
Why did I do that? That's a good question. I don't know why I did that. Maybe I wasn't comfortable enough yelling at you. but now I'm more than okay with it. So I think we have a good enough relationship where I can yell at you for bad picks like that, because Zach Zenner, he's somebody that, I mean, I wasn't high on him. I could understand the reason why people wanted to like him, but he was just a guy. He was another Matt Asiata type. So the players,
I thought he was going to be Peyton Hillis. I thought that's what was going
to
happen.
Oh, no. Well, you don't want him to be Peyton Hillis. I mean, maybe 1 year version of Peyton Hillis, but the players we're going to talk about today, I promise you they're going to be better than Zach Zenner.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that whatsoever. We could probably go 25 sleepers deep and not get someone as bad as Zach Zenner. So I don't know, man. who were a few of your guys last year that you liked?
Oh, God. I wish you would have told me. I would have totally went through and picked up some of my sleeper articles, because one of them, it's funny, he's back in the list today. So I'm not giving up on him just yet. Another one, let me think about that actually for a second. I'm going to go through, because I know Torrey Smith was definitely not considered a sleeper by the time it rolled around, and that's one I totally buried myself on. I know I liked Willie Snead coming into last year. He was further down the list. Marvin Jones was somebody I liked a lot. He didn't really pan out as much as I thought he would have.
He did at the start of the season. If you sold high in week three, you were money.
It was so funny. Evan Silva and I went out to dinner right around that time, and the bill came, and he told me, he's like, oh yeah, you could pay for this one with your Marvin Jones money. And it was a joke, because like now it's like looking at it and it's like, man, I'm going to go back in time and make Evan pay for that dinner.
You should. You really should. We should call him after this episode. And I don't know, man. I just can't get over the Zach Zenner one. It was just horrible. And I made a big mistake right before this episode. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm really thirsty. It's super hot outside, so I chugged two Gatorades, and I had no idea that Gatorade could just tear up your stomach so much. It's like worse than chugging a bunch of chocolate milk or even apple juice. I had no idea Gatorade was like the worst thing you could chug.
It's so much sugar in there, dude. Like, I know that. And like, so I get yelled at all the time. So I drink Monster all the time. And it's not the green stuff. I drink the low carb blue one. And it's like better for you, but I know it's not good for me. And when I have two of those in one day, my stomach gets all jacked up. So I could, yeah, I definitely understand that. Gatorade is a lot of sugar, man. Like, you have to be like, Bobby, we're writers. We sit in a chair. Like, you're not running around playing basketball all day. So, I mean, if you go out and play basketball all day, two things of Gatorade will be fine because you're burning off all that sugar. But just sitting there, not a good idea.
It's so good, man. It's so good. It's, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't as bad of a decision as Zach Zenner, but I'm going to be feeling it the whole episode, and I'm not too happy with myself.
Well, if you need a break, let me know.
Okay, guys and gals, we're still doing the T.Y. Hilton signed jersey giveaway right now that we got from pristineauction.com, the sponsor of today's show that we're going to be talking about a little bit later. And if you want to enter, all you have to do, subscribe and review us on iTunes, then screenshot it and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. And for those of you who already filled out a review for the last giveaway, you're still automatically re-entered into this competition in case you missed out on the Le'Veon Bell signed jersey giveaway. So don't worry, we've got a couple emails about that. And, you know, you guys get a big bonus for doing it early. You get more chances. And we really appreciate all the reviews we've got.
Yeah, Bobby and I went to bat for you guys. Just so you know, we had to argue. Like, I'm totally kidding right now. We didn't have to argue. But we definitely went to bat for you guys and said, hey, if they left a review, we should get them. We should definitely leave them, like, put into this contest. And it was like, you know what? That makes sense. So anytime you guys put in a review for the show, like, even if it's just now that you're doing it for the T.Y. Hilton jersey, just know that it's going to enter you for all future contests that we do. So kudos to you guys.
All right, Tags, you ready to kick this off?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go in reverse order here to build up some suspense. Tags, who's your number five sleeper this season?
Number five, it was tough to narrow these down because I do like them a lot. And you just know that when you're talking about sleepers, you're talking about guys that they're obviously not a lock. Otherwise, we'd have them ranked a lot higher than we do.
Of course.
But these are players that, you know, I really truly believe that there's a chance that they can help you win a fantasy title in 2017. And this is a guy, you know, I mentioned it earlier that he was somebody I liked last year. And it didn't really pan out, but for different reasons than people think. So DeAndre Washington, the running back for the Oakland Raiders, a lot of people were, you know, kind of with me on that train. They thought that, you know, Latavius Murray was really lackluster in 2015. And it's like, you know, if he struggles in 2016, DeAndre Washington was drafted for this particular reason. Now, there were a lot of circumstances. You know, Latavius Murray got all the goal line work. He did pretty good on the goal line. Jalen Richard turned out to be a player. But DeAndre Washington himself averaged 5.4 yards per carry on 87 carries. So it's not.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's not the biggest sample size, but there was only three running backs who averaged more yards per carry with as many carries as he did. Mike Gillisley, Bilal Powell, and LeSean McCoy. These are running backs who are being drafted in the top 30 right now. Okay, so granted, they went out and they signed Marshawn Lynch. That's why DeAndre Washington is not being drafted as a top 40 running back. As a matter of fact, he's going as the 208th player off the board right now, which is just out of control because Marshawn Lynch is 31 years old. He's taken more abuse on his body than probably any other running back in the NFL right now. He plays behind one of the best offensive lines. But if you were to say Marshawn Lynch at 31 years old gets knocked out of a game, like a hamstring, soft tissue injury, concussion, whatever the case, this is a guy who's been out of football for a year and a half, traveling to different countries. If he gets hurt, DeAndre Washington could emerge as a league winner because, as you know, Bobby, the Raiders offensive line is, I mean, I would argue that it might be the best in football, but it's definitely, definitely top three.
I definitely think it's top five. I would say probably top three. I don't think it's the best. We're going to be talking about the best later when I'm talking about one of my sleepers, but I love the pick. I mean, you really sold me on him. I didn't realize he had that many yards per carry.
Yeah.
They should have given the ball a lot more.
I kind of wondered that. And the part of the reason that Jack Del Rio, I think, kind of went away from DeAndre Washington a little bit is because if you remember when Latavius Murray got hurt and he missed, I think it was just one game he ended up missing, DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard shared the load that week. And I remember it because it was a discussion that I had talking about, can you start DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard in the same game? Can you play them in both your DFS teams? Like, just because they were both minimum salary. So it was trying to decipher that. And neither of them really lived up to expectations. Now, again, that was 1 week. The guy was a rookie. It takes time. But to look at his entire sample from the 2016 season, DeAndre Washington, he put a solid season together. And this is a guy that they may not be ready to give the keys to, which is why they went out and signed Marshawn Lynch. But if for some reason something happens to Lynch, who I think is more susceptible to an injury than most people think, DeAndre Washington could just step up and at least, at the very least, be a flex player for you.
So I'm looking at ECR right now, tags, and he's the running back number 65. He's being drafted at 199, so virtually undrafted in most leagues, and it doesn't really make sense. I mean, if anyone's going to get hurt this year, I don't see why it wouldn't be Marshawn Lynch. He probably has as much injury risk as anyone because of the beating on his body with how old he is, having been out of football. Makes a lot of sense to me. It's a great situation.
I agree. So who's the running backs around him, Bobby? Like, who are the guys that are being drafted right around him? That's what I want to know.
So we're looking at Jerick McKinnon, Shane Vereen, Deontay Foreman, who I think is just really a bum. He's being drafted below Jalen Richard, Chris Thompson, as we mentioned earlier. I mean, that's an ugly bunch of running backs. You can get him for free.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like, you talk about those running backs there. Those are guys that... they're not going to help you in a league. Like Shane Vereen, I don't know what people are doing drafting him there. I don't understand it. But DeAndre Washington is a guy who's built a little bit like Maurice Jones-Drew. And again, if he gets the opportunity, I think he's a minimum a flex play.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Now, I want to clarify for you guys listening at home, because everyone has a different definition of sleeper. A sleeper is not like a breakout player, like someone who's top 80, like Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? Like, everyone knows who Derrick Henry is. Everyone's hyped about Derrick Henry. No one's sleeping on him. If you're not, you know, outside the top 120, I don't think you can be a sleeper. And, you know, it's the same kind of thing with, like, some people are saying Jamal Charles is a sleeper. I mean, he's outside the top 120, but if he does end up getting carries, I don't think he's going to. But if he does, everyone knows he could be an RB1. He's probably not going to get the carries, but, I mean, he's a guy who's done it before. It's got to be someone that no one's really talking about. He's outside the top 120. He's never done it before. So I just want to put some clarity on that before I say my number five guy. And that's Zay Jones, wide receiver for Buffalo. He's the number 65 wide receiver. His ADP right now is 154. I'm taking him 130 in redraft leagues, 110 in keeper leagues and PPR leagues. Listen, the Bills lost 225 targets last offseason. That's 49% of the passes they threw. And that's going to go to a lot of new faces this year. And you have to presume Watkins, if he stays healthy, he's going to pick up an extra 60 targets. But I mean, that leaves 165 for Zay, Corey Brown, and Andre Holmes. Folks, Zay Jones had 157 receptions last season with 1,746 yards. He's the best in this draft class at getting open. It's a perfect fit for Buffalo, and he's going to be the beneficiary of lining up across from double-team Sammy Watkins. Just like I did with Michael Thomas last season, I'm not even worrying about getting drafting a wide receiver four until Zay Jones, because I know I'm going to get wide receiver three production out of him in the 12th round if he stays healthy.
You know what's crazy about that is, like, just as you started talking about him, I pulled up my projections I have for the Bills, and, you know, Zay Jones is not somebody I've been particularly high on, but I actually can see where you're coming from, because Tyrod Taylor, as we know, has made Sammy Watkins more than fantasy relevant. When him and Sammy Watkins are healthy on the field, all is well. Sammy Watkins is a borderline wide receiver one. So, with Sammy Watkins, you know, maybe having some of the soft tissue stuff, some may have the foot injuries, where if he were to miss some time, there is nobody else on this team that could step up and take targets. I mean, Corey Brown is not going to see more than five targets in a game. Andre Holmes has been a backup receiver his entire career. Walter Powell, I want to say that Walter Powell actually got suspended. I think something happened off the field with him. The Bills were one of the names in the running for Jeremy Maclin. You know, a lot of people expected them to talk with Eric Decker. Nothing happened. So Zay Jones might be forced into that role. So for me, my initial set of projections has him right around 80 targets, which is not bad when you're talking about a wide receiver that's being essentially undrafted right now or outside the top 60. So I don't think it's a bad call at all. And I think that I wasn't huge on Zay Jones coming out of college, but at the same time, opportunity is king in the NFL and he could see plenty of it.
You know, he didn't really play impressive competition. He was in East Carolina, but those numbers, man, absolutely ridiculous. He's a guy that's gonna get open. I'm pretty fond of him. Hopefully we have some disagreement here, Tags, because that's always gonna make it fun. I mean, I know my next two you're gonna agree with because we've talked about them before, but my number two guy, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about him.
I can't wait either, and I don't know if we're gonna disagree on these or not. We didn't really go through them so much before the show, so I'm curious to hear who this is. My number four guy getting into the list is Devin Funchess. You know, I haven't been really shy about my backing him up this offseason. I've talked about him being a steal in MFL 10s. I actually just took him in one draft in the 18th round, so he's not moving up. I'm having no effect on his ADP, which is a good thing for me because I'm able to steal him like that. Right now, he is... So we had our... It's not even just in redraft, though, Bobby. Our Dynasty League, our startup Fantasy Pros Invitational that we had, that draft, I got him as the 80th wide receiver off the board. I think when you look at all the concerns that we have with Kelvin Benjamin, you know, with his conditioning, with the way that he performed down the season, because if you were to take out Kelvin Benjamin's first couple weeks of last year, because if you recall that opening night, he scored two touchdowns. Everybody's like, oh, Kelvin Benjamin, he was a steal in drafts. Going over the rest of the season, Kelvin Benjamin was a bum. He wasn't even a wide receiver three. So looking at the numbers that he had overall in 2016, 118 targets. He ended up on those 118 targets. He had 941 yards and 7 touchdowns. Devin Funchess over his career has exactly 3 more targets than that. So basically the same amount of targets, right? He has 844 yards and 9 touchdowns. So
whoa,
Devin Funchess has actually outscored him in standard leagues, a little bit under in PPR. But Devin, like, this is, I'm not talking about a guy that's being drafted right by Kelvin Benjamin and we're splitting hairs and saying, oh, I'd take Benjamin or I'd take Funchess. We're talking about a guy that is literally going undrafted in drafts right now. A guy that is going to occupy the deep role because, you know, Ted Ginn, I would say, has been the most effective wide receiver under Cam Newton.
Which is bizarre to say.
It really is. But it just goes to show what Cam Newton has really done, what his strength is. Cam Newton's got a rocket for an arm. Everybody knows that I'm not a Cam Newton fan as a quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. But what I will say is he has a top three arm in the NFL. He can chuck the ball down the field. And when looking at Funchess, even though he's 6'4 and 232 pounds, his 15.6 yards per reception over the last few years tells me something. He's going to occupy that Ted Ginn role because Kelvin Benjamin sure as heck isn't. Curtis Samuel might, but again, guys, we're talking about a rookie wide receiver that was taken in the second round, who's a converted running back. He doesn't know the position very well yet. So I think he's going to be more of that Brandon Cooks-esque player.
Exactly.
But I can't see him seeing more than 80 targets or anything like that. So when you look at Funchess, I'm projecting him for just under 100 targets. And granted, I think that there's a legitimate possibility that Devin Funchess outscores Kelvin Benjamin this year, but I'm not betting on that. That's like a bold prediction. But for Devin Funchess being undrafted, I think it's madness. Madness, because there are no other options in this offense that I can see getting those targets outside of Kelvin Benjamin, who was extremely, extremely inefficient last year. And Ron Rivera has already talked about his conditioning issues this offseason. So
yeah. Yeah, you know I love Devin Funchess. I like Samuel a little bit better because I think he is dynamic. I think he's going to play there in the slot. He's going to get a lot of looks. You know, Carolina, it seems, is trying to change their offense quite a bit. They went out and got McCaffrey and Samuel. So I'm not so sure about 95 targets for Devin Funchess, but I like him a lot. He's a big-time red zone threat. I would not be surprised at all. I agree with you. If he ends up better than Benjamin this year, I just think that the targets are going to be spread out a little bit more. With that being said, the wide receivers around him right now, Mohamed Sanu, Malcolm Mitchell, who's like fifth on the depth chart, Cole Beasley, Allen Hurns, are you kidding me? I mean, all these guys are ranked ahead of him.
That's what I'm saying is like, so I've said it before. I don't think around his range where he's being drafted or undrafted, I don't think you could find a guy that has a chance at double digit touchdowns as much as he does. And people mistake that. They think Devin Funchess is a deep threat, and he is. But Devin Funchess, when he came to Carolina, he was brought there to be a red zone threat. Like, the guy is 6'4", 232 pounds. He's going to see backup corner, or I should say not backup, but number two cornerbacks, while Kelvin Benjamin sees the majority of the attention. So for me, there's a lot of other concerns in this team, whereas I think people are somewhat overlooking Devin Funchess.
You know, Funchess is really good, but my number two sleeper that we're going to be talking about in a bit that I mentioned before, he has a chance at triple-digit touchdowns, so Funchess, you know, he's ranked behind Funchess. So we'll just have to wait for that one. But first, I'm going to start with a running back. Jonathan Williams is my number four sleeper this year. He's the number 66 running back on ECR, number 188 ADP. In a 12-team league, that's undrafted, okay? Buffalo's run blocking is the best in football. I don't think it's even close. I don't think Oakland measures up. I don't think Dallas measures up. Their running backs averaged 2.88 yards per carry before contact last year. The next best in football was 2.37. That's half a yard better per carry before contact. The difference between Buffalo and number two was the same difference between number two and number nine. McCoy has just 437 rushes over the past two seasons, and they ran the ball over 1,000 times in those two seasons. So there's going to be a ton of carries up for grabs, and that's if McCoy doesn't get injured. It seems like, you know, he's really injury prone. He's getting old. He has a lot of mileage on his legs. If he does get injured, I think Williams is immediately an RB1, and he's virtually undrafted. Gillislee had 5.7 yards per carry behind that line. I think Williams may have just as much ability and tags. Buffalo scored 29 rushing touchdowns last season. I'd be willing to bet Williams gets his hands on at least six of those this year.
That's insane. 29. I didn't realize it was that high of a total. I did know about the offensive line and how good it was last year in terms of yards per contact. It seemed like whoever touched the ball, unless it was, of course, Reggie Bush, because Reggie Bush is done.
Next best, by the way, 23 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. Was it the Falcons?
I don't remember. Don't have the Falcons.
The Falcons might have been the next closest, because I knew the Falcons scored a ton, the yardage. But talking about it, LeSean McCoy is somebody, so they're changing offensive schemes, so LeSean McCoy may not be as effective. I am a little concerned about the coaching change and how that would that affect the offensive line, but they've kept it intact, so we know that they have good blockers up front. So for me, Jonathan Williams is really worth the stash. But here's the question though, Bobby: do you draft Jonathan Williams, or are you more like wait until McCoy injury, because then everybody's going to be running to the thing? So
I don't want to spend 90 fab on him. I'd rather just draft him in the 15th round.
So here's the question though. This is where these sleepers come in, and I want to talk strategy for a second. So let's pretend that we like these sleepers. Like me, for instance, Devin Funchess. Let's say I draft him with my final pick in the draft because he's going undrafted. I get him at the final pick before my defense, of course. But let's say that the first week he doesn't really do anything. Let's say Jonathan Williams gets five carries, 20 yards, no touchdowns. He's not involved in the passing game. If someone's on the waiver wire at that point, at what point, so on a handcuff running back, like I want to talk specifically running backs here, on a handcuff running back, what's the point where you feel okay to cut bait? Like if there's a great waiver wire pickup in week one, and you have to choose between Jonathan Williams or the number four wide receiver that you drafted, like what do you do there?
Well, I mean, I don't really use the waiver wire the same way that most people do. It's just a philosophy that I use where I carry 8, 9 running backs virtually all year. I'll carry one quarterback, one tight end, one defense. I don't mess around wasting my bench on those guys. And then I've got maybe one extra wide receiver, because here's the thing. Every single week, there's going to be plenty of injuries in the wide receiver cores, and there's going to be one guy who's expected to get more targets than usual, and you can pick him up for virtually free or maybe 10 fab bucks. If you get a running back like Jonathan Williams, it's 90 fab bucks. So I want to have him. If I have 5 starting running backs, I've got plenty of trade value. I can upgrade somewhere else. And so that's the way I like to do it. I'm not cutting bait until I have a ton of injuries myself and just have to pick up a starter. And I know that that's pretty risky, but you know, you're not going to win championships unless you take a bunch of risk. And if you have 3 legitimate RB1 running backs, and look, if you have 9 running backs on your roster, you've got a good chance to go into the playoffs with 3 RB1 running backs, because you're going to be able to have these trade blocks, these trade pieces that you can put out there. Like Jonathan Williams. I mean, just think about last year with Jordan Howard coming out of the blue. There's so many guys out there like that every year. Jay Ajayi. If you have 9 running backs, you're likely to get one of those guys.
Yeah, no, you made a really good point. I liked your point that you said about in terms of fab and what people are willing to spend on waiver wire pickups. And if you have someone like Jonathan Williams, where if LeSean McCoy gets hurt, people will spend their entire budget to get a running back like that. And especially if it's a long-term injury. Whereas, like, you know, if Allen Hurns or Marquise Lee has a breakout game, people aren't going to break the bank to go get that wide receiver. So I think it's a solid point. Now, I don't know if I'd go to the extremes that you do in saying I'm only going to have one bench wide receiver, because it depends
on
where
it's pretty extreme. You know, if you look at the waiver wire in virtually every league, if you're playing in 16-team league, it's a little bit different. But in 12-team leagues, Marquise Lee was available in 80% of leagues at the highest point in a season. I mean, he averaged, what, almost 70 yards per game? I know he didn't get the touchdowns, but you can pick up guys like that, Adam Thielen, every single week for free. I remember Cameron Meredith was available like 12 out of the 16 weeks of the season. He was clearly the wide receiver one with Alshon Jeffrey just scuffling around. So I don't care about, you know, my wide receiver on the bench. I only have him for bye weeks. Otherwise, I wouldn't even have a wide receiver on the bench, because it's so easy to pick up these guys who are going to get targets. Quincy Enunwa, another one.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, like, I just thinking about it, just stepping back, and sometimes, like, you know, we tend to overlook these things. And, you know, I know that there are some people out there, like J.J. Zacharyson is so against handcuffing running backs. And I understand his point. He's made points about it, and I really can understand that. But at the same time, there was a reason on some of my teams last year, I held on to guys like D'Angelo Williams, even though he wasn't starting. I knew that he had trade
good
value
call
alone. So I always held on to players like that. So it's a slippery slope. But as you mentioned, I love how you talked about that. It makes a whole lot of sense where people are willing to spend their budget on a running back for a week, but they're not willing to spend it on a wide receiver or a tight end even. Because I remember CJ Fedorowicz, there were a lot of weeks where he was in tight end one territory seemingly every week in DFS, but nobody ever wanted to pick him up. He was available in like 70% of leagues all year. So kudos to you on that one. I do appreciate that. But I wanted to, the reason I asked you about the whole that idea, because the next player on my list is a running back, and it's a running back I'm really excited about. And it's like, I have to think about this, like, how high would I draft him? Because if he doesn't start right away, what do I do? And that's Jamal Williams of the Packers.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of people, Jake Seeley, we had on the show I think 2 weeks ago. And Jake was talking about that he could be the next Jordan Howard. And I tend to agree with him. I think it's a different situation. I don't think that he's the type of running back. I actually think it's a worse situation in a weird way, because their offensive line is not very good in terms of run blocking. They also lost J.C. Treader to the Cleveland Browns. So their offensive line is a little bit of an issue. But when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers that keeps a defense on their heels, it's going to allow the running backs a little bit more room. So
yeah.
Jamal Williams is a guy. The reason I like him so much, Bobby, I'm going to ask you a question. How many games did Ty Montgomery get double digit carries last year?
Oh, man, I don't know. I feel like because you're asking me, it's probably really low. So I'm going to say four.
One. Just one time all
wow,
last year.
Wow, that's amazing.
Time. Yes. And then that game was the game against the Bears where he had 16 carries for 162 yards. That's where a majority. Actually, if you go through Ty Montgomery's.
Well, the Bears had no run defense whatsoever. So, of course, they ran the ball a ton.
No. Get this. Ty Montgomery last year against the Bears, he had 25 carries total in the two games for 222 yards and two touchdowns. Against every other team, he wasn't even nearly the same running back. So here's my take. Ty Montgomery is not a traditional running back. He is not. They're not going to run the offense through him. He's not going to be a first and second down back. There's a reason that Mike McCarthy was hesitant to do it. Now, does that mean that Ty Montgomery is going to be useless? Absolutely not. He's going to be mixed in. People talk about Aaron Jones and how Aaron Jones, they like him better than Jamal Williams. Well, the Packers don't, and that's what matters. The Packers drafted Jamal Williams.
They don't yet. That's my point. I love Aaron Jones. And the only reason I don't have Jamal Williams out there on my list is because I think Aaron Jones is every bit as good. And when they get in the preseason, they're going to say, well, he's just the best running back on our team. So I think he might be the starter. And, I don't have Aaron Jones on this list either because of Jamal Williams. So I love both these guys. I wouldn't mind owning both of them, but you're making a really good point.
But so here's the case, though, for Jamal Williams, right? Because I think he complements Ty Montgomery better, because Ty Montgomery is not going to go away. He's a converted wide receiver. He's going to have a role. I would say he's probably going to average around 10 carries per game. He's probably going to catch five balls per game. Yeah, a little bit of an upgrade on Theo Riddick in terms of running ability. But yeah, I that's actually not a bad comparison at all. But Jamal Williams complements that very well because he's really a one and two down back. He can catch the ball if necessary. But this is a guy in his final year at BYU. He totaled 18 or more carries in 8 of 9 games. There were 7 games that he had 24 or more carries. So he's definitely built to handle a workload. He's what they would want. Like, the Packers got in so many shootouts last year. Aaron Rodgers threw the ball more than he traditionally does. Now, did it work out for them? Sure, because Aaron Rodgers is the greatest of all time. But I think that the Packers...
They were better when they had Eddie Lacy being an RB1.
Exactly. Like, slowing down the game, where if they have a lead, they can sit on the ball and they can run the ball. Like, going through the Packers running backs last year, it's a joke. Like, Ty Montgomery, 77 carries. Lacy, 71. Stark, 63. Aaron Rapowski, 34. It was a joke in terms of what they were putting out there on the field. And, you know, you said it. They were better with Eddie Lacy on there because they can control the clock. They can actually get ahead in a game and take time off of it. Jamal Williams is a guy that, so here's my stat for you, Bobby. I talk about this with Carlos Hyde. It was so impressive what he did, finishing as the number 9 running back last year in points per game on a team
despite everything.
Despite the team that scored the 28th most points in football. Did you know the top 8 running backs in terms of points per game were all All top eight were on teams that were in the top 14 in actual scoring. Seven of the top eight were on top 10 scoring teams. So when you look at Jamal Williams in a situation and Ty Montgomery, you want to bet on one of these guys because you know the Packers are going to be a top 10 scoring offense, right?
You're right. Yeah.
So when you look at that, I think Jamal Williams could be a league winner if for some reason Ty Montgomery is locked into that same role that he had last year and the Packers realize we need to sit on the ball a little bit. Because if Jamal Williams gets even 12 touches per game, he's going to be a starter in fantasy football.
It's very clear that it was a priority for the Packers to go out and get one of these running backs because they got three of them. They got Jamal Williams, they got Aaron Jones, and Devontae Mays is really good too. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow he leaps the depth chart. It's a supreme athlete out there. So the Packers clearly want to change the way they do their offense. And adding Jamal Williams, you're right, he was the first guy drafted. So I think he's going to get the first crack at this thing. And you and Seeley have really sold me on him, or at least adding Aaron Jones and getting a piece of this Packers backfield.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea. Like, that's the players when you're looking at his area, because right now he's being drafted around the 145th player off the board. When you're looking at that territory, you're just looking for upside. You're not looking for the players like I won't draft Darren Sproles because I know what Darren Sproles is and I know what he isn't. I know he's not going to win me a fantasy championship, whereas Jamal Williams, he could be that guy. It's just like Jordan Howard last year. Jordan Howard was that guy you put on your bench and say, I hope he's a league winner. And as it turned out, he was.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, sticking with running backs here. I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers rookie, James Conner. He's the number 71 running back, number 209 ADP, so not drafted again. We all know Le'Veon Bell's injury prone. I think some people forget, Tags, that he got hurt again in the playoffs last season. So it's been past two seasons. D'Angelo Williams, who you mentioned, has started 14 games. The Steelers aren't shy about running their backup into the ground. D'Angelo Williams had 298 carries for 1,250 yards and 15 touchdowns in those 14 starts. As a 32 and 33-year-old, and I'm not saying Connor's the same quality of running back that Williams was. I mean, Williams was drafted in the first round and the Steelers waited till the third for Connor, but he's just 22 years old. And I love what he did while he was playing at the University of Pittsburgh. I'm just saying, as a 22-year-old, he might be as good as a 33-year-old D'Angelo Williams. And if and when Le'Veon Bell gets hurt again, Connor's an RB1 every single week and you get him for free.
You know, it's funny. You said I want to argue on this podcast with you, but I'm not going to argue because I came out with my article. It's for premium users and it includes my top 10 sleepers for the incoming season and his deep sleepers. And James Conner was on that list. And, you know, for a lot of the reasons you mentioned, Conner coming out of college, he was someone I liked. He's a tackle breaking machine. And if he fell in the right offense, he could do some work. And he landed in the right offense. He did. He landed on the best possible scenario. Like anybody backing up Le'Veon Bell, it's a great position to be in. And I'll tell you why. I went through the last 2 years and looked at the Steelers backfield. There have been three running backs who have started games for the Steelers: Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams, and even Fitzgerald Toussaint. Okay. In that time period, Bell, as a starter, averaged 26 touches per game. Williams averaged 23 touches per game. And even Toussaint, 18 touches per game. So as you can see, they will give it to anybody they want. Now, the Steelers are known to be a team that is win now. So when you draft a running back in the third round, where they drafted James Conner, which is actually earlier than he was like projected to go, they're going to use him. They've already said, we have to be aware of Le'Veon Bell's usage. I think that they're actually in. I'm not saying that Le'Veon Bell is going to be dialed down to 18 touches per game.
He's a wide receiver too. He's a really good wide receiver. They'll split him out wide and just run the ball with Connor.
They could run two sets. They could run two running back sets, have both of them back there and have him carry the ball. I couldn't have said it better myself. The Steelers are known to do some stuff like that. They did have certain times where they had Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams on the field. So love the call on James Conner. He was in my list as well.
All right. Who's your number two guy, Tags?
Now, before I get into my second favorite sleeper, I want to tell you about the sponsor of today's show, PristineAuction.com. That is PRISTINE Auction.com. As you guys know, we gave away that Le'Veon Bell jersey, and right now we're doing that T.Y. Hilton giveaway that we talked about earlier in the show. Make sure to go there, check them out. They have daily auctions with hundreds of items, something from every single NFL team. What happens when you go there? You're going to register. It's absolutely free. All we want you to do is tell them that fantasypros.com sent you. That way, we're able to continue doing giveaways. Anything on their site is guaranteed authentic, as they only work with the most trusted sources. Check it out. You only pay for anything if you win it. And that's obviously the point, right? You want to go there. You want to bid on a jersey or a helmet. You want to win it. That's the only time you'll ever pay. It's all free. Check them out. PristineAuction.com. All right. Number two, it's hard to go down the list. You know, I talked about Devin Funchess and the fact that, you know, it's hard to find someone with his touchdown upside that far down the list. Well, it's hard to find someone who's going to see 120 plus targets all the way outside the top 160 players. Now, this player is going to move up the boards because we're going to talk about him and more people are going to start talking about him. Quincy Enunwa of the Jets. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, Bobby, I know that you're a Marshall fan. I know we've talked about this. We've had arguments about Brandon Marshall. But did you realize that last year, Quincy Enunwa saw 23 fewer targets than Brandon Marshall? Despite seeing 23 less targets, he totaled 69 more yards and scored one more touchdown. Enunwa outscored Brandon Marshall in fantasy last year 111.8 to 96.8. They were both being thrown to by the same quarterback. I understand. So the concern is that they're playing on a bad team. I get that. It is a bad team. But if we recall last year, Terrell Pryor, first year wide receiver, he was able to make a fantasy impact for the Browns. And that's a team that was in complete disarray. So Josh McCown, if he's starting there, I do think that that's considered an upgrade from where they were at last year with the Jets. And when you talk about Enunwa, any wide receiver over the stat is any wide receiver who has seen 110 targets over the last 5 years. I want to say that there's only been five instances where they've finished outside the top 36 wide receivers. So Quincy Enunwa was at 105 targets last year. They just lost Brandon Marshall. They just lost Eric Decker. It's a situation where they've got
Robbie Anderson, though, and Robbie Chad Hansen.
I think Robbie Anderson's going to be suspended for four games. I want to say he had something with a DUI where he's going to be suspended for four games, because that's a name.
I was just joking. There's no competition for Quincy Enunwa.
Well, that's true. Well, the thing is, Robbie Anderson, I'm not going to take away what he did towards the end of last year, because he did a fine job. But I would 100% rather own Enunwa. And that's even if Robbie Anderson doesn't get suspended. I think that it's a steal to get a player that's getting this many targets down the draft board.
Yeah. You know, every single year, there's these wide receivers who break out, and everyone's like, man, this guy is a legitimate wide receiver one all of a sudden. Like, what happened? And last year, it was kind of Devontae Adams and Terrell Pryor and Quincy Enunwa. But everyone forgets that, because towards the end of the season, he wasn't as dominant as he was in the middle of the season. He just peaked at the wrong time. I mean, as fantasy owners, he peaked at the right time, because that means we can get him for a lot cheaper. But I'm with you. I had no idea he was being drafted 160. I see him down there at number 130 for ECR, which is the expert consensus ranking. So that means the experts as a whole are much higher than where his ADP is. I think even that's going to rise. I think it's going to rise maybe to the top 110, maybe top 100.
Yep. I would argue that even the experts are way too low on him right now, that he needs to move up boards. Like, I'm going to put him inside my top 40 wide receivers. I need to go through and redo my projections now that Decker's officially gone, and like kind of go through the league, because, you know, even in that 40 wide receiver range, you're looking at some good players. Like, like that's the area where you're looking at guys like Devontae Parker, like Adam Thielen, like DeSean Jackson. You could argue that those guys should be higher, but that's right around where he's going to end up in projections.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. Now, this is the one where I think we're going to disagree, because I have not heard you say his name before. I don't even know if you know who he is. I'm sure you do. You do drafts with like 500 players being drafted, so you probably know like wide receivers on the practice squad that got cut that might be picked up by someone else. So I'm sure you know this guy, because Chris Conley, wide receiver for the Chiefs, is starting tags. Macklin's gone. Chris Conley is starting. You can say what you want about Tyreek Hill, but he's a gimmick player as far as I'm concerned. He's not a traditional heavy target type of guy, and Alex Smith isn't going to throw a ton of passes, but Conley's going to be seeing a ton of targets on this team. And seeing that he had 7.7 yards per target last season, by the way, the same number as some guy named Julio Jones, I think it's fair to say he's being overlooked. Have you heard of that Julio Jones guy?
I have to double check, but I think I have. I think.
Yeah, I mean, he is off the charts athleticism. Not Jones, but Conley. Both of them do. And I think he seems like a prime candidate to go undrafted to top 30 wide receivers by this time next year. I'm not saying it's absolutely going to happen, but it has to happen to someone. It always does. I think he might be the guy.
You know what's funny? I'm going to pull it up right now because I'm almost positive on the stat. And yep, I'm correct. Chris Conley was had the most yardage among wide receivers last year without a single touchdown. He had 530 yards but did not score a touchdown. There was no other wide receiver with more than 408 targets without one, and that was Quentin Patton, or 408 yards without one. That was Quentin Patton. So Chris Conley is a guy that I wanted to say that I liked Conley, but here's my issue. His skill set does not fit what Alex Smith does. If Patrick Mahomes was under center, I would be all aboard the Chris Conley hype train because he's one of those guys that metrics are off the charts. There's a lot of guys that wanted to expect big things out of him. He's a solid speed size combo.
And he's 6'3", great leaper. I mean, he set records at the combine for leaping.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is Dwayne Bowe, right?
No, it's better than Dwayne Bowe. I hope so. I just think it's a...
Well, Dwayne Bowe was really good for a couple years.
I just think it's a quarterback situation where... It's funny, I was just on Pat Mayo's show and we were talking about this Chiefs offense and how many actual threats can come out of it. Like how many pieces can Alex Smith support? Can he really support a top two tight end and a top, you know, a top 24 wide receiver in Tyreek Hill? And then you're talking about Chris Conley. I am of the mindset that Tyreek Hill is being a little bit overvalued. I'm a little concerned about like a Devin Hester type effect. They've already talked about they're going to start taking him off punt and kick returns and focus him on wide receiver, which I think is a mistake by all accounts.
But he's Cordarrelle Patterson all over again, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not touching Tyreek Hill unless he drops two or three rounds later.
I think he's more electric than Patterson. I think Patterson's better after, like, I think he's a guy that can break more contact. But I think Devin Hester is the best comparison I can come up with. And the Bears tried to do the same thing with Devin Hester. And if you recall, I can't remember the year. I want to say it was like 2011 or 2012. Devin Hester was being drafted as a top 30 wide receiver because people thought the same exact thing, like, oh my God, you know, not only is he going to get his return stuff, but he's going to be a wide receiver. He's going to be a playmaker. They're going to find ways to get ball in his hands. Now, Andy Reid is a much better play caller than the Bears had at that time. That was Lovie Smith. That was under the Lovie Smith days. So Andy Reid is he's better at getting the ball in guys' hands. Obviously, he did that with Jamaal Charles, but Tyreek Hill is not your prototypical number one wide receiver. So I do think that there's plenty of room for Conley to come up. But the problem is his quarterback situation just limits his ceiling a little too much, where I think it's like you could probably get a few usable weeks out of Chris Conley, but I don't think he'll be a game changer.
Okay, that's fair. So this kind of counts as a disagreement, right? I mean, you're not taking him in the same spot as Julio Jones like I am, are you? I love Chris Conley, man.
Oh God,
I love him. He's gonna be my backup wide receiver on a lot of teams, and he's free.
I love you, Bobby. You're awesome. So in our drafts, I'm gonna expect you to take Chris Conley in the first or second round. P.S.
No, I'm not doing that. I gotta take Kevin White and Sammy Watkins at some point,
right? Obviously. I mean,
maybe Sammy, I can get three first round picks and get all three of my wide receivers.
Yeah, you're gonna have to reach for Sammy because he'll be on my team.
Okay.
All right. So let's move into our number one pick. So mine, this one I felt a little guilty of, but the thing is like we had a criteria, right? We wanted to go outside the top 120 players, and this guy is. And I know there's a lot of people out there listening that know this guy, but he hasn't broken out yet. He's still a question mark, and there's a lot of people out there listening that still don't know who this guy is, and that's Kareem Hunt. He's the number one on the list. Granted, he is being drafted outside that top 120 right now. He's slowly actually moving a little bit down draft boards because the hype is somewhat died down. He was drafted by the Chiefs this year. And as you know, people are concerned about Spencer Ware. Spencer Ware, you know, he fell off over the second half of last year, this and that. Kareem Hunt, Andy Reid wants a workhorse running back. I get all that, guys. And that's why I am not running away from Kareem Hunt. I'm a fan of Spencer Ware. But you cannot underestimate a running back in Andy Reid's offense. You know, Jamaal Charles was a Hall of Fame type player, but let's talk about Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West. I went through the stats and looked. There have been 26 games where one of those two took the lead role with no Jamaal Charles, but one of those two had the lead role. In those 26 games, at least one of them scored 10.2 or more PPR points in 20 of the games. And there were 10 of the games where they scored 20 or more points. So coming out to start the season, Spencer Ware, you know, we could talk about Spencer Ware for a minute and just say, why did he struggle over the second half of last year? Well, they lost their best run blocking guard. I believe it was week 5, Parker Ehinger. They lost him. And then if you recall, I think it was the Chiefs game or the Colts game where Spencer Ware was concussed. Living in Chicago like I do, I watched an interview recently with Leonard Floyd, one of the Bears' top draft picks from, I think it was last year, 2 years ago. Leonard Floyd, he suffered a concussion last year. And he said, I came back from the concussion. Granted, I was cleared. I was mentally cleared. I was able to go through the motions, but I wasn't the same. He's like, my balance was a little bit off. I sometimes would just get tripped up when I usually wouldn't. Like, my feet just didn't do exactly what I wanted them to do. But again, he was there enough to play, just not totally himself. When you're talking about a running back where everything comes down to a couple inches, Spencer Ware didn't look like the same player when he came back from his concussion. Granted, now
he's... And maybe he won't be again.
Well, that's the thing. That people can argue that because Spencer Ware is somebody that used to be on the Seattle Seahawks, then they cut him. So it's not like, you know, everybody has believed in Spencer Ware all along. I like him as a running back. He reminds me a lot of CJ Anderson. They're really tough guys. They have a low center. They have a low tackling area. They grind for every single yard, and that's why I've always appreciated him, and I think that's why Andy Reid has too. But when you look at Kareem Hunt, he wasn't someone I was even huge coming out of college. I wasn't huge on him. I think he's a little sluggish. I think Spencer Ware is a better running back. But with that being said, when we're talking about guys out the top 120, if for some reason he gets that job over Spencer Ware, or if Spencer Ware is inefficient again to start this season, Hunt will take over and Hunt will be locked in as an RB1, RB2 in that range. And again, this is a guy you're getting outside the top 10 rounds.
Yeah, I like Spencer Ware as well. But when I see a running back get a concussion that bad that just kind of lingers all season like Spencer Ware's did, it really concerns me. I mean, we're not talking about a knee that gets re-aggravated every once in a while. We're talking about a concussion. Once you get a bad concussion, they just come back again and again and again. And I'm looking, we talked about our Dynasty League, our Experts League. You know, Sean Corner, the guy who's finished number one in accuracy, I think it's 3 years running now. He's just a genius. I'm looking at his roster right now. He's got Spencer Ware, and he's got Charkandrick West, and he's got Kareem Hunt. And he gets all these Kansas City guys because Andy Reid loves to use his running backs.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what it comes down to, is trusting in the fact that he wants a workhorse running back. And again, he might start out in that Charkandrick West role. It may be just to take over Charkandrick West's backup role. That may be the case. But if for some reason it's not, it's well worth the chance where he's being drafted.
There's a lot of potential there. He is a fantasy championship winner if he takes over the job. Okay, so moving on to my number one guy. And sticking with Sean Corner's team, I'm looking at it right now. He's got Chris Conley on his team, and he's got my number one guy. And I'm sure you all know who it is, because he is outside the top 120, and it's really not even close. It's Kevin White. Sean Corner drafted Kevin White, and I am so mad. He took him one pick before me, and that's the only league all year where I won't have Kevin White. And I'm trying to trade for him right now. So hopefully Sean's not listening to the show so that I can, you know, get a fair price for him. I'm willing to overpay for him quite a bit, but his ADP, number 159, wide receiver, number 62. Tags, I feel like I'm cheating by putting him on here. I mean, come on, Kevin White at pick number 159. He was a top 100 guy last year, and nothing changed except, you know, the Bears got rid of Alshon Jeffrey. Kevin White averaged 2.5 targets per quarter last season. You know who else did that? Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, Hopkins, Mike Evans, and Julian Edelman. That's it. When Kevin White played, he saw 14 more targets in 3.5 games than Alshon Jeffrey. He set the world on fire with his combine after shredding double and triple coverage against Alabama for 143 yards, Oklahoma for 173, Texas for 132, A&M for 129, Baylor for 132. The kid was sensational in college, and he's one of the best wide receiver prospects to be drafted in the last 5 years, and we forget that because he had a few injuries. Folks, if Kevin White stays healthy, he has the upside to be a top 10 wide receiver in this league. I've got him ranked number 90. That's 70 spots higher than his ADP. I don't feel bashful about it at all. I'm not afraid to admit that. Jake Seeley, you know, the guy who's one of these experts that's a perennial most accurate expert, he has him in the top 100 too. I'm buying him in every single league that I can, and I'm begging you to get him on your teams, just like I did with Lance McCullers in baseball, and that worked out. Please, guys, draft Kevin White. It is going to help you win a championship.
You know what's funny is we, on Father's Day that night, I scheduled a mock draft with a bunch of different writers, and Jake was one of those guys, and I wrote it up. I think it's going to be coming out on Friday, so whenever this is posted, it might be the same day, but I'm going to put it up, and I actually wrote at the end of it that one of my favorite picks was Kevin White that I think Jake got. It was either the 11th or the 13th round where he took him, and I wrote that it's hard to find a wide receiver. You know, talking about Quincy Enunwa and where he's being drafted, I think Kevin White falls into similar territory where You know, Cameron Meredith is a guy that's going to be missing camp. We know that. Mike Glennon's a new quarterback in the system. And, you know, calm down with the whole the Mitch Trubisky talk, because Mitch Trubisky's not starting. Mike Glennon's the quarterback of this team. You know, he's going to be getting reps with Kevin White. I have slightly moved Kevin White down my board as the offseason's kind of gone on. And the reason I've done that is because Kevin White seems to have lost something in the time that he's had all these injuries that he's dealt with and all this time that he's missed, where he doesn't really trust himself anymore. He was somebody that came out of college that was known to be extremely raw. The natural ability was there. He's a guy that came from a junior college. You know, he overcame a bunch of odds. He killed the combine. He was drafted top 10, all these things. But he hasn't been on the field now for essentially 2 years. And, you know, the mental aspect of coming back from these injuries, you know, the expectations, you know, people were talking to him. There was interviews with him saying, you know, do you think you're going to be able to prove people wrong? And he said, well, I don't want to prove people wrong. I just want to, you know, go out there and do my best. And it's the confidence, I think, is a little bit shot on Kevin White's, you know, on his side. But here's the reason why I'm okay with you having him there, because the Bears are going to do everything in their power to get anything they can out of him. I think they're going to give him every single opportunity to shine. I think they want him to be the number one wide receiver on this team. And because of that, I think you can safely project him for that 100 targets if he plays all 16 games. And when you're projecting that many targets, to get somebody, you know, where he's being drafted now is kind of a joke. So I'm cautiously optimistic. And I'll tell you this, though, too, Bobby. If Kevin White struggles this year, it will not be because his schedule is tough. I went through the schedule, and Kevin White is a guy that the only corner that's even close to a shutdown cornerback that he's going to come across in his schedule is Xavier Rhodes of the Vikings. And again, he is really good, but that's what I'm saying. That's the only time. And I want to say they only play them once during the fantasy season. And I think week 17 is the other time, but that's the only cornerback on his schedule that's even close to a shutdown corner. So if Kevin White struggles, it's not because he faced tough competition.
He won't struggle. We don't have to say if. We don't have to worry about that.
I hope you're right.
He might get hurt, but I don't really think he has that much of an elevated injury risk compared to some of these other guys. It's not like he has soft tissue injuries. I mean, he's a guy that just had a legitimate tough break. You know, I think he's good to go this year. I think he's the number one. I'm not worried at all about Mike Glennon. I think he's every bit as good as Jay Cutler.
Oh, God, no.
I don't know if you like that.
No, I don't like that at all.
Jay Cutler was not very good last year.
No, Jay wasn't good in John Fox's system. I'll tell you that right now. Jay Cutler and John Fox did not blend at all. Mike Glennon should be a better quarterback. I think that's why Brian Hoyer was a better quarterback than Cutler last year, because even if you go back to 2015, Cutler was just not very, like, he liked, Adam Gase was solid with him. Like, he knew how to use Jay Cutler, how to roll him out, how to get him out of the pocket. John Fox, I don't like John Fox as a coach, but I hope you're right about Kevin White, because as a Bears fan, I want to see this kid pan out. I know he's had some tough luck. I've never heard a negative thing.
I mean, he
thing.
Had his car stolen, his Maserati, I think it was.
Oh, God. He shouldn't be driving
lots
a Maserati.
Of tough
he
luck,
he
man.
Should be going back to a, like a,
well,
a,
his
a
girlfriend
Pinto,
was driving
a
it.
Pinto or something like that until he steps it up. No Maseratis for you, Kevin White, until I see a 1,000-yard season.
Hey, that's coming, man. It's coming this season. So, Tags, we got a little bit of extra time. I want to know who your just misses are, the other guys rounding out your top 10. We don't have to talk about them, but I want everyone listening to know who they are. Let's see if we've got some crossover here, too.
Okay, so when talking about players that just missed my cutoff, and, you know, they're outside the top 120, but I felt like people know them, and I felt like it would be cheating to put them on the list, because people would be like, well, Mike, everybody knows who that is. The number one is Eric Ebron. Eric Ebron, most people don't know that he finished with the eighth most yardage among tight ends last year, and that's despite the fact that he missed three games. If I went through and I was like, all right, let me
tons of upside.
Yeah, let me take his per game average and put it over 16. He would have been behind only Travis Kelce, Greg Olsen, and Jimmy Graham. And the touchdown, you know, those have been missing. I think he only scored one receiving touchdown last year, and he had one rushing. But Anquan Boldin being gone, that takes away so much. I think Marvin Jones is a guy that you could talk about as having some upside that's being drafted too far down list. But Eric Ebron he's legitimately has top five tight end upside.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think he would have been a top five guy last season if he would have got a normal touchdown ratio. And he's the type of player who can get a bunch of touchdowns. He never helped anyone in DFS because he was so consistent, but that's what you want in fantasy football, right? Eric Ebron was getting 60, 70 yards virtually every single game he was healthy. I like him quite a bit. My just miss guys, I had Wayne Gallman, running back for the Giants. I just don't think Perkins is good enough to hold on to a job for the full season. I do think he's probably going to win the job out of training camp. They'll give him a chance. But, you know, when it's not working after four, five, six games, I think Gallman takes over. I like what I saw out of him in college, and I think he was kind of overshadowed by Mike Williams and Deshaun Watson in that offense. I think Gallman is a legitimate NFL pro running back. Another guy, Marlon Mack, same type of thing. Frank Gore is just a turd, and Marlon Mack is going to take over. I really did think Christine Michael was going to win that job, and now he's hurt, so it's Marlon Mack's job to have.
I like Marlon Mack, and for the reason, like you said, I'm not going to say Frank Gore's turd, but Frank Gore, it makes the Colts offense worse. And I know a lot of people are listening to this and they're probably gonna be like, Mike, that's not true at all. Frank Gore is a good running back and this and that.
Oh, it's
true. I understand that Frank Gore is a good running back. I mean, I think that he's at the end where I don't think he's really a good running back anymore, but what I'm saying is that he's good for a control offense. I was talking, I think, with Nick Whalen on Twitter about this, and the fact that Frank Gore holds this offense back. This is an offense that should be scoring, you know, 30 plus points per game. But instead, once they sign Frank Gore, it kind of slows down the pace. Frank Gore is great for a team. If you want a running back who's going to get you, you know, 2, 3, 4 yards a pop and not lose yardage, that's fine. But that's not what this Colts team needs. They have a poor defense. They don't have a great offensive line. Marlon Mack is not great in between the tackles, but you're going to live with him losing a few yards here and there in order to get his big plays. They have not had a splash running back since even Ahmad Bradshaw. And even Ahmad Bradshaw was at the end of his career when he was there, but Ahmad Bradshaw was a great running back when on the field for the Colts because of all the weapons they have around. You know, Marlon Mack is lightning in a bottle, whereas like Frank Gore is like a drizzle in your garage. Like, you know what I mean?
I like that. Yeah,
That's the best way for me to describe it. But Frank Gore, he would be better on a team that has a really good defense, like he was back in San Francisco. But on this Colts team, I think it's time. They have to move on from Frank Gore.
So, Tags, you have a couple other names for us?
A couple other names. I mean, Marvin Jones was one of them. And again, these are players that they're borderline. But Marvin Jones is being overlooked. I think this could be the year. Like, you remember how last year started out? If you go back and look at the first four games of 2016, Marvin Jones was a top three wide receiver. I think he may have been number one, actually, after that time.
Yeah.
But then,
so you basically just love the Lions' pass attack this year.
I think that there's a lot of guys being undervalued, and I think that we're missing it because the touchdowns that Anquan Boldin was stealing away from them. You know, Amir Abdullah is going to change things up a little bit. The Lions' defense is not good. They're going to be forced to throw a little bit more. I love Devontae Parker, but there's legit concerns about his workload, but it's something. So, Bobby, Devontae Parker, I want to spend a minute just because where are you at on him? Because Devontae Parker is somebody they're talking up this year after talking him down last year. But by all accounts, Devontae Parker changed his diet, changed his thing. He's out there as like the first player on the practice field. He's catching touchdowns from Tannehill. Everything looks great. But they did re-sign Kenny Stills, who was extremely effective last year. And now, this is where I want to believe a little bit more in Parker and Stills as the 1-2 combo. Because Jarvis Landry's contract is up at the end of this season. They have not even discussed an extension with him. So it makes me think, and even if you look at the second half of last year, his targets started coming down. So is this the year Devontae Parker breaks out?
It very well could be. I mean, there's a lot of hype surrounding Parker right now. He's being drafted right there around 120. His ECR is 89. That tells you everything you need to know. The experts like him a lot more than the general public. For good reason. So, yeah, I'm a believer in Devontae Parker.
Nice. Kenneth Dixon is another one I like. Tyrell Williams is fine. But, again, these aren't really sleepers. These are guys outside the top 120 that I liked that I didn't really want to put in the conversation because I'd rather put in players that people don't know. And, you know, if you don't...
Do you prefer Tyrell Williams or Mike Williams on the Chargers offense this year?
Tyrell Williams. And it's something that I... Mike Clay from ESPN, you know, he's been doing these things with projections recently. And he posted his thing on the Chargers. And I looked at it and I said, wow, Tyrell Williams really down there and Mike Williams really up. Like, why would you think that? Because Tyrell is someone who excelled last year. And he said that he went to the NFL Combine this year and he got a chance to talk with some of the Chargers coaches and said that they know about Tyrell's shortcomings and that they had concerns, which is why they drafted Mike Williams. And I think that's more on Keenan Allen. I think that they're more concerned about Keenan Allen and the player that he is and the player that he's not. I think that they're concerned that Allen may not come back as the same player that he was. So for
he
me,
might not, but even if he's 80% of himself, he's a great value if he stays healthy.
But the thing is, so like, where are the – we've talked about the Chargers before and, like, trying to figure out where these targets –
he could get 200 targets if he's healthy.
Well, I don't think so, because that's what I'm saying. So, basically, you would almost be eliminating Tyrell Williams, be eliminating Dontrell Inman, eliminating Mike Williams. You know, Travis Benjamin was somebody they paid big money for in free agency. Hunter
Henry. But
that's
always happened. Every time Keenan Allen's been healthy, it has always happened where they eliminated targets for everyone else because he just gets open.
So, at what point – at what point do you say Keenan Allen, I'm done with him? Because we're now entering, what is this, his fifth season? And he has yet to finish as a top 16 wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets hurt, then I'll be done with him. But other than that, I'm going to keep a guy who's going to get a ton of targets. So I'd say 50-50 chance that I'll be done with him. And, you know, he gets hurt a lot. But I don't know. I just love the upside with him. Tags, I'm going to tell you my final two guys. Well, I had Curtis Samuel on there, but we don't need to talk about him. We already hit him up. So my other two guys are really deep. Charles Sims. I think he's probably going to beat out Jaquiz Rodgers for the job while Doug Martin's gone. And look, I don't think Charles Sims is really a keeper after those first 3 weeks, but I think in those 3 weeks, he really helps you out quite a bit with this offense. Charles Sims, if you forget, he was drafted in the top 120 last year as a backup running back because he was really good before last year, and he suffered through injuries last year, but I think he's ready to go now. He's a good pass catcher. And then Kenny Galladay, the wide receiver that Detroit traded up to get, I think he fills the Anquan Boldin role. He's a big body. He's fast. He's athletic. I think he can be that red zone threat for Detroit. So those are my other sleepers.
Galladay's a good one. I mean, like, I like too many other guys in Detroit for me to like Galladay very much. I think he's a guy that can make an impact maybe next year or 2 years from now. I think that he was a solid pick for them. Chad Williams, I think, has a clear path to the starting lineup if he wants it out of Arizona.
Yeah.
The Cardinals wide receiver there, because they drafted him a lot higher than people thought. And it's something that the Cardinals have actually done pretty well in terms of drafting wide receivers that come from smaller schools. So
they say he's the Fitzgerald replacement. So we'll see how good he is.
Yeah, that's a tall order to live up to. but yeah, definitely. I mean, they're lacking wide receiving options behind Fitzgerald and John Brown. So I could see him having somewhat. I think him and Galladay are an interesting conversation between those two. But yeah, I mean, I think that they're both decent flyers in the like late rounds, or keeping on waiver wire to speed dial.
Yeah. Well, Tags, that's all the time we have for today's show. It was really fun chatting sleepers with you, especially because we only had one disagreement. And it was like barely, because I know you're just, you know, faking how much you dislike Chris Conley so you can take him ahead of me in our FP Insider League. But I don't know. It was a lot of fun.
It was a blast, man. I love talking about these players because these are the ones that are the most unknowns about.
Yep. Well, guys, we've got two more shows coming for you next week, including a show with Rich Rebar. We're going to be doing another mock draft, so make sure to tune in for that one. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.